section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Lots of releases, the Ring of Honor pay-per-view is this weekend, and multiple title defenses on Impact. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So the WWE releases, I guess, the jobber roster, if you want to call it that. So what are some of these big releases, Aaron?
So Andy, let's just talk about the biggest one ever, okay, which is JTG.
JTG was released. Wow. And here's the funny part. Of the releases, he was the final one.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what happened, right?
Well, of course, he started trending on Twitter.
Yeah. And people were like, wait, you released all of these people, but you didn't release JTG? Like, what is wrong?
Yeah, it's like, okay, we're going to release Brodus Clay and Curt Hawkins, but where's JTG? Well, he decided to pick up the phone call, which he should have just not picked it up.
No,
and then he would have still been with the WWE. So of these releases, you know, we talked about one of them in particular, and I think the WWE made a mistake on this guy. They signed him when he was super young, known as a guy he wrestled as Matt Sydal.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about Evan Bourne getting released?
So Evan Bourne, it was kind of funny because we had talked about last week, 2 weeks ago, about Evan Bourne. We actually were talking about him, and I almost wonder if somebody there has to be listening to our show, because they have they've been doing stuff and they've taken some of our ideas and kind of ran with them. So here's what I'm going to say. I think that Brodus Clay, in my opinion, I know that that people say he's a hard worker and he has a really good look, and maybe he does. He's not my cup of tea. I think Curt Hawkins, they could have done a little bit more with him. 3MB, it's a joke. It was a joke group, a joke stable. Honestly, I'm not very upset that they're gone. Evan Bourne is probably the one that I was a little taken aback by, because he's a guy who I think could do well in the undercard. And you know, he's not a guy you ever build a roster around. He's not a guy you build a company around. But he's somebody who I feel could do a decent job in the undercard. Get the crowd excited. The people were behind him. You know, he's a natural underdog. He's the only one out of everybody that's been released that I went, you should have kept him.
Okay, Evan Bourne or Kevin Steen?
Kevin Steen in a heartbeat. Kevin Steen is going to transcend, WWE, you know, more than Evan Bourne will. And now, if you ask me, so let me ask you, Andy, Evan Bourne or Zack Ryder?
I'm going to have to go with Evan Bourne in this case.
I would go with Zack Ryder just because he's not going to be as big of a troublemaker as Evan Bourne. But if I'm going on pure talent, I would say Evan Bourne.
Well, okay, if you want to go from the fact that, yes, he got busted for synthetic marijuana twice, which if he just did the real thing, he would have got $1,000 fine. Weird.
Yeah.
But then... yeah, he did. You know, he broke his foot, I think, in a car accident, if I'm correct. So, yeah, it happens. But it's sad that he's gone.
It was a pretty big deal. You know, it happened really late in the week last week, unfortunately, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I did want to ask you about – so WWE is having some cost-cutting measures that they're introducing right now. And obviously getting rid of all these people, that's a cost-cutting measure that they're doing. They had talked about that apparently for all these new events, they got rid of Bad News Barrett's podium, and they got rid of Fandango's streamers and his little light up I don't even know what that is, what it's called, but his little light up thing in the ring. But apparently they're not going to have that transported from show to show because it costs a lot of money to do so. is this bad news for those people, or is this just cost cutting?
It's just cost cutting, because realistically that podium was getting really annoying. I don't see how that podium, because basically it's a scissor jack, and the Fandango thing, it's two small things. You would think that could go into the same truck that the rings will fit into, but apparently they just had their own semi-truck, which I find intriguing. But,
yeah.
But the one thing that actually bothers me the most about these cost-cutting measures is that they would take the basically the production staff during the events, they would be on a bus. I didn't know that they started doing this. Well, they just let everyone know that, oh, by the way, you now have to pay for your travel expenses. We're not going to flip, you know, we're not going to put the bus out for you guys anymore, which I think hurts. That hurts the production. And I think the way that the show is going to be done the most.
Well, it's going to hurt morale, I think, more than anything. And so I agree with you. I think that if you are telling people, hey, we're going to change some things, and it's for cost cutting measures, which I totally understand from a business perspective. However, though, from a morale perspective, you are managing people, which means you are managing emotions. You are not managing, you know, these robots. You know, you're managing emotions that are going into there. And for Bad News Bear, I'm sure that really he probably doesn't care, because honestly, like the scissor jack thing, that was like, oh, interesting. But that doesn't matter. He doesn't need that to get over. He's over. Bad News Barrett is over. Fandango, on the other hand, he's not over anymore. You know, like they pushed him too hot, too fast, and then he just fell flat. So for him, if anything else, it's probably going to hurt him more than it will Bad News Barrett.
Now, of the releases, I thought this is the one that was surprised that TNA didn't jump on. But Teddy Long was released. But you would think that he doesn't have a 90-day non-compete clause. Wouldn't it have been interesting to have him show up at Slammiversary?
Yeah, I'm sure that it probably would have been, but I don't know. Teddy Long's not as big of a deal to me. You know, I would rather see Evan Bourne show up in TNA, to be honest. But I don't want to belabor that subject though too much though, Ian.
But here's the thing though: of these guys, who's going to show up on Ring of Honor on Sunday?
Maybe Matt Sydal.
Yes, and so I'm actually excited about Ring of Honor's pay-per-view on Sunday. I am getting it, so I'm pretty excited about it, actually. Best in the World, if I'm correct.
Yeah, so I think that Best in the World is actually going to be a really great pay-per-view because, of course, we have Michael Elgin taking on Adam Cole, which is the big match. These two actually faced each other last year in the finals for the vacated Ring of Honor World Championship, and Adam Cole was able to get a win, and then he turned heel. But we're going to see some really good matches, and a couple that I'm more interested in is actually going to be Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian taking on Red Dragon. So that's going to be really interesting because these guys were just in TNA, and now they're showing up in Ring of Honor.
I hope they steal the show. I would rather see Kevin Steen and Silas Young, because Silas Young is that gimmick is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But I think that might steal the show. And I think that a lot of people, once it's all said and done, they're going to be like, why aren't these guys in TNA? They just put on match of the year. And I think it'd be, to me, I guess it'd be something funny to throw in their face. If that makes sense. The one I thought was really weird is that Chris Hero is not on the card.
Yeah, well, there's two things that I feel that are kind of lacking, which is Chris Hero and AJ Styles. I imagine AJ Styles is probably in Japan. But Chris Hero, I wonder what he's doing that he can't make the show, or maybe he's going to have a run in or something else. You never know.
Yeah, he'll have a run in, and I'm just wondering where. But I guess, see, it's hard for me to explain my feelings on Ring of Honor because I want them to succeed, and I believe that they're heading in the right direction. They're keeping it small. They're staying in one spot. They're not having to, you know, if they go to arena that holds 800 and they sell it out, that says something, opposed to TNA for their house shows can get 200 or 300 people, and that their house shows, they will get 500 or 600, and that's what they expect, unlike the other promotion.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think Ring of Honor is doing the smart thing. They're going to Philly. They're going to New York. They're going to Chicago. Nashville. They're going to the hotbeds of wrestling fans. And if I was in, you know, that area, I would go to Ring of Honor shows because Ring of Honor has good wrestling. They have okay storytelling, but they also have fairly big names, and they have people who you see now who will be future WWE superstars, who will be really big names. You know, I think back to like 5-6 years ago when you see like – well, actually now it's like 8 years ago. But you see like a young CM Punk. You see a Samoa Joe there and AJ Styles. You know, you see all these people. Austin Aries, another one. These are really, really big name people now. Well, I mean bigger name people than what they were back then. So honestly, I think Ring of Honor has a really smart idea what they're doing, whereas TNA was – they were trying to be WWE. You know, when they were out here in Seattle, in the Seattle area, I should say, you know, they drew probably 300 people at their house show. And that's sad. That's sad for a national promotion. Ring of Honor, if they were out here, they'd probably draw about the same. But the thing is, Ring of Honor is being smart. They're staying in the hotbed of wrestling areas.
All right. So let's move on to W program for this week. So John Cena overcomes the odds again and beats Kane in a stretcher match. What do you think about, okay, they just did a stretcher match with Kane, and if Daniel Bryan comes back...
They didn't do it. Well, yeah, okay, so you're saying they just did it now. They're not...
Right, they just did
sorry.
And it was supposed to be with Daniel Bryan. Do you think that now they're going back to the Buried Alive match?
They might. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun there and interrupted you. But yes, I do think that when Daniel Bryan comes back, if he does have a feud with Kane, I think they do a Buried Alive match. The only downside, though, is that Kane himself is being billed as a monster. And I'm having a hard time believing that, knowing what he has been in the past and how that's not really the character that he was. You know, they had this fun stuff with him, and Daniel Bryan. I think it's really hard to go from a fun, lovable character to this, I'm very serious, and now I'm this huge monster, you know? It'd be almost like doing that to Undertaker. Like, I wouldn't be able to take him as serious, you know? I'm not saying I don't take Kane serious as a performer, but I don't take him as serious as this wrecking machine.
But I think it's interesting that they actually have had Kane do these jobs. I mean, he just jobbed to Daniel Bryan, and he also did a gimmick where he set the table on fire,
mm-hmm.
which I was intrigued about. Then they did the stretcher match, and now there's a possibility of doing a Buried Alive match, but wow.
Well, that one is really far down the road, but I don't know what you do with him, to be honest. I almost think that Kane, I think that they're booking him very poorly. I don't think they have him in good matches. I think that they're doing actually a really piss-poor job with Kane, to be honest.
I actually hope that when Kane picks up his feud with Daniel Bryan, actually improves. But, you know, we're overlooking John Cena, the fact that he actually overcame the odds again. And he's going to be in the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah.
Now, do you think they did that just to have John Cena in case they're like, oh my gosh, we don't know what to do. Let's put the title on Cena.
Cena wins, LOL. You know, I mean, that's what it is. I hate to say, but, you know, you see Cena, you know, overcome the odds. The moment they said you're going to be put in a stretcher match, I went, he's going to win. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. He's going to win. It's John Cena, you know, like I hate to say it, but that's what it is. And John Cena, the person, is really great. And he's somebody that WWE is always going to go to John Cena because he is guaranteed to make the money. He is always going to be a good guy. He's guaranteed to make WWE money. I understand that completely from a business standpoint. However, from somebody who is watching this, I'm going, I've seen this story a million times. You're not showing me anything new. You're not showing me him overcoming the odds. If anything else, him losing and then having to come overcome the odds this coming week, that would have been a surprise to me. But this was not a surprise. So anyway, Andy, let's move on, though, to the next one, which was also very predictable. Roman Reigns, he actually threw Rusev out at the end of a battle royale to win the last spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Well, you know what they did with this? This actually basically saves face when Roman Reigns does not win the title because you have Rusev come in and cost him the title. Which
that would be interesting.
Because then you could start a feud with that if you wanted to.
You know what? I like that idea. So can I piggyback off that real
quick?
Let's
go ahead. I'll let you go.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. So WWE is listening right now. Here's what I would do. I like your idea, Andy. Have Rusev come in, and cost Roman Reigns the ability to win both titles, okay? And then what you do is for the next 3 months or so, you have Rusev taking on Roman Reigns as kind of a in-between feud, because this way you can have Rusev win a match, you can have Reigns win a match, and then you have the final one, which is the kind of a best of three series almost.
SummerSlam.
Yeah, right? You know, well, SummerSlam would be the first match. And then you'd have like a Night of Champions, and I don't know what the next one would be. But so you have the three. But I think that'd be a good idea, because that way you can actually help elevate both characters as a face and a heel. And then you get Reigns out of a title picture, because honestly, Reigns is over. But if you push him too much too fast, people are going to reject him. You know, look at Ryback. Ryback is a perfect example. People rejected him. Reigns is somebody, if you do that slow build, you're going to have a superstar as popular as The Rock on your hands, in my opinion, in wrestling. Not in entertainment, but in wrestling, you'll have a superstar as popular as The Rock was.
Yes, I do agree, actually, on that aspect. And something that I speculated last week was that they're going to add a second Money in the Bank ladder match. Now, I put something in earlier on this. I said I figured out what Seth Rollins actually is going to get, and I figured they were just going to hand him a Money in the Bank briefcase and then there'll be no match. But he basically traded everything in just to be a part of that match. Why didn't he wait to tell Raw and SmackDown when they're going to actually have the final people announced?
Yeah, well, you said there's going to be another one. I was like, that's a dumb idea. That's a dumb idea that they were going to do it, though. And you were right. They totally did it. I still think that, you know what, just have one be the ladder match, or have it be like a fatal four way or something for the World Heavyweight Championship, and then have a real Money in the Bank match, you know? Do it like Royal Rumble, where it's an attraction, where, look, Royal Rumble every year, we buy it for the Rumble. We don't buy it because, oh, they're going to have Punk take on Rock. Yeah, that was a big match, but, or, you know, Cena versus Orton. That match last year was horrible. But you know what? We paid for the Rumble. And, you know, just like this, you want to pay for the Money in the Bank match. I was a little surprised that they added it. Rollins being the first one in doesn't surprise me there. We're going to have Ambrose in there because obviously they're feuding right now. We may have Rusev in there. Who knows? We'll have a bunch of kind of mid to upper mid carders in there for that match.
Now, Sin Cara comes out and he does not have the tattoo anymore. And he looks like Dan O'Brien. We know what's going on. But now, the thing with Stephanie puking, did you find that humorous at all?
No, I did not. I did not find that funny in the least. Did you?
Well, when it happened, I was like, huh? I was like, who's writing this? Is what I first thought. And then we find out later that the head writer was terminated the previous week. You know, the gentleman who was, well, I guess we'll find out who listens to our podcast, because if they're taking more ideas, it wasn't him. It's someone else on the writing team. Maybe it's Vince himself. But the thing is, to me, I thought they showcased the McMahons a lot. And real, when it's all said and done, if business is bad, you would think that, okay, Triple H and Stephanie, they would focus on business opposed to, we're going to do business, and because we're, you know, we got some egos, we're just going to go ahead and, you know, put ourselves on TV. Like, the only reason Triple H's DVD sold so well is because he bought 50,000 copies.
Well, so here's my thing. And to kind of piggyback off that a little bit, you know, I agree. I think that they were shown way too much. If you're really worried about ratings and you're really worried about business, then you can do two things. One, showcase John Cena more. Okay, plain and simple. I hate to say it, but you can showcase John Cena more because he's somebody who's going to get eyeballs on there. You know, he is the Hulk Hogan of our day.
He's a safe bet.
Yes, he is. He is a very safe bet. The next things that you can do is you can really showcase your younger talent who you feel are almost over, but they need a little bit more time. Put them in really, really good and memorable feuds. So Roman Reigns, who they're obviously pushing, Bray Wyatt, you know, even Dolph Ziggler. I know that they're not that hot on him, but Dolph Ziggler is somebody that you can really showcase. You could have Rusev in real feuds, not squashes. You could have, I don't know. I mean, there's a whole lot of other talent on there. Where's Cesaro? Why aren't they showcasing him more? You know, I feel like they're not doing a good enough job with him. You know, Sheamus, he's somebody that they're showing a little bit, but they could maybe do a better job with him. But Bad News Barrett also. You know, these are people that you can
help elevate to the top. So that way it's not just a John Cena show. Instead, it's going to be more like it was back in the Attitude Era, where it was Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, HBK. You know, you had a whole ton of talent there that was showcased all the time, as opposed to just one main guy and the rest were okay people.
Yeah, I agree. Now, here's something that I find intriguing that they could do. Do you think that when it comes to Money in the Bank for the world title, the world heavyweight champ, the world WWE, whatever they're calling it now.
WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Thank you. What is the possibility of someone going up and grabbing the old WCW title and someone grabbing the WWE title?
I'm going to say it's a 70% chance. What do you think?
I would think it would be the biggest swerve, but kind of something that could lead
up
to...
Give me a percentage.
I would say 80%, because Night of Champions is the next pay-per-view, right?
No. SummerSlam's next one.
No, they have one in July, too.
Oh, yeah. There's one in July, then SummerSlam, and then Night of Champions. Yeah, you can check it out right now. But let me ask you. So you think that there's an 80% chance that the belts are going to split?
Yes. I believe that's what it's gotten up to. I just have a feeling about that. It's Battleground is the one that's on the 20th. Night of Champions is until September. I was going to say, because they could do something where at Night of Champions, they combine the belts again.
I think that'd be a bad idea, though, to be honest, because that's almost like saying, well, we're going to combine these and split them up and combine them again. We're going to just kind of have fun with it. You know, we're going to have these, split up whenever we want. But I think that I could see it splitting. I think I could see people grabbing the titles and then they're going to call them co-champions. And then at Battleground, because they want people to buy the pay-per-views or buy the network, they're going to say, we're going to see the real champion come about, you know? So I think that we might see something stupid like that, to be honest.
Well, you know what? Nothing surprises me anymore with the WWE, especially since they steal most of our ideas. Or great minds think alike. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at every web hosting cost. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEShop.com. So let's talk about Impact Wrestling for this week. Slammiversary happened. What are your thoughts on the pay-per-view itself?
So I actually liked it. I thought it was a pretty decent pay-per-view. The only downside with it, in my opinion, was that it felt like it was an Impact. That's what it felt like. It felt like I'm watching Impact Wrestling, and it was a good one. It was a good Impact, but it didn't feel like a pay-per-view to me. And so you look at that and you go, why am I paying $40 for this?
Yeah, I think it was, what is it? I think it was 45 for the HD one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I skipped out on that. I just went to a friend's house to get some all. But I thought it was just a glorified Impact. No matter how you look at it, that's what I thought about it. Of course, EY retains in a match that I thought they rushed way too fast. It felt like that match should have been at least 25 minutes. I think they gave it 15.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the rules of a cage match are when you leave the cage, technically you win the title, right?
Exactly.
So you remember when Bobby Lashley left the cage and he did not win the title?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. So you know, they need to change their cage title or the cage rules, I guess, in TNA.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. So
I will say it did feel like just like an Impact. The other thing I thought was interesting is that they were actually talking about bringing back the six-sided ring and the fans get to decide it. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to be permanent or is it just going to be a one-off?
I think that the six-sided ring is smart to bring back for special occasions because it's a special attraction. And so, for example, think Destination X, right? I think that when they have Destination X, six sides, make it special. Destination X is always going to be a six-sided ring. So we're going to do that pay-per-view in six sides. And then do it, you know, maybe at Genesis or you know, when they do their, you know, Six Sides of Steel. Have it be a six-sided ring then. Have it be something where you look at that and you go, oh, that's different. Don't have it be like, oh, you know, we're going to just bring it back and that's all it's going to be. I actually think that four sides is better. I think that you have four sides all the time, six sides for special occasions.
Like a Royal Rumble. Like you have it a pay-per-view where you're like, hey, we're going to do – like Destination X is the perfect one because you can decide, okay, well, we're going to give it a six-sided ring and have all the cruiserweights do whatever they want. Have it be one of the one-night-only pay-per-views. Do it then. But, you know, there's some wrestlers complaining about it. I saw Aries did not like it. And then Sean Waltman, I think, made the best argument. He said that when guys are not used to going on the ropes like that, it is different because the ropes are tighter. It's not like, you know, because the ropes are not 90 degrees. It's, I'm guessing, we'll just say 45 degrees. And that can actually mess with you. If you go up for the top rope and you're so used to having your feet in a certain position, you may not be able to do the same moves. If you were that way all the time, then that's the one thing. But it's gimmicky, I believe. And plus, well, I just, they should have just kept it in the first place. Changing it for four sides was a mistake. But I... You know, here's the other thing I was intrigued about. Impact was live, but it wasn't live.
Mm-hmm. So is it, what, an hour delay, hour and a half delay, something like that? Well,
if they ran it at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and the show, we'll just say, so if that's the case, it's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Oh, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. If it's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but the show doesn't air live until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's not really a live show.
Well, you just said 9 and 9. Well,
The show starts at 7.
It was
7.
On an hour delay, pretty much, no, right? Maybe 2 hour delay.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to see it somewhat live. I'm actually okay with this because the way I see it is this. I'm on the West Coast, so, you know, watching WWE – realistically, I'm watching on a tape delay. I'm watching on a 3 hour delay, so I could read exactly what happens without having to watch the show. However, though, I'm okay with watching the show when it airs because it's only, you know, it's a 3 hour delay. I hate watching shows, you know, when it's like, oh, hey, we record on Tuesday, you get to watch on Friday, or we record on Monday, you get to watch on Thursday. It's like, well, I'm going to just read what happened and then that'll be that. So I'm okay with this, but the downside is, there were some big things that happened. For example, Tommy Dreamer was there, and I thought that was actually a pretty big deal. Did you like the Tommy Dreamer segment?
The fact that they actually brought up House of Hardcore, I was intrigued with because they've never done like a cross promotion like this because it was basically all done on Twitter. I was happy with it just because Tommy Dreamer's been with TNA, and Tommy Dreamer was also showcased on the WWE Hall of Fame just recently, which I thought was interesting, even though he's a TNA agent. But he runs the House of Hardcore. He basically brings his friends from ECW over. I was surprised about this. I just thought maybe they were grasping for straws. But the stuff that Dreamer said, I believe that he really meant that she was a fan at one point. Listen to the fans, get out. Because when she came out and they were booing, they weren't booing and she was getting heat. They were booing because they're like, we're sick of seeing you. Stop coming on TV. And I truthfully believe that if Jeff Jarrett bought the company and that one of the main reasons why they didn't buy is because Dixie had to be on an on-air talent. That's sad because she's not a McMahon.
No, and I agree. I think that she's not an on-air talent. I wonder what this storyline is going to be. I will say this. I really like Tommy Dreamer. I think that Tommy Dreamer has a personality that you want to be his friend. Like whenever he talks, I'm like, man, that's my buddy talking. Like that's the way I feel about Tommy Dreamer. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way. But I like Tommy Dreamer. I think that he is really great as a talent. I think he's good on the mic, you know, and I think that the promo that he was cutting – I was like, oh, you know, I'm actually interested in this. I'm paying attention. What's going on here? You know, tell me a little bit more. I'm curious what they're going to do with this because he said House of Hardcore. He promoted that. This was obviously a pretty big, long angle that they had been running for the past couple of weeks now. We're actually going to bring it up this week to talk about what was going on here, to talk about is this an angle? Is this real? Like, what's going on? But obviously it's an angle. Do you think that they're going to do maybe a slight invasion storyline where they have some people from House of Hardcore invade into TNA? What do you think?
I mean, they could do something like that, but you know, when they go to New York and they do the tapings there, they could do something like that. But realistically, House of Hardcore, they don't run many shows. There's like, a weekend they'll do a Friday and Saturday show, and then they're done. I guess I don't know if that would be enough, because Dream doesn't run that many shows. I think they do it maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, and they do shows back to back. But those shows sell out, though. But that's because people want to see Dreamer's friends, the guys from ECW, come out, even if they're in their late 40s, 50s.
It's not just them, because there's some young talent. Like Matt Hardy goes to it. Chris Masters is a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they have those
Shane
types
Helms
of people.
As
Shane
the Hurricane.
Helms, yeah. Yeah. Isn't it Gregory? Don't call me Shane.
I tried to get him to sign. Can you say Shane the Hurricane, but don't call me Gregory Helms? I want him to sign that. And he like smiled at me. And then someone brought up Guy Gardner. Yeah. Anyways. But yeah. So he wouldn't sign it that way. He signed everything Hurricane and then does the Hurricane symbol, which, by the way, I bought a real funny thing. I actually bought an autograph online before I actually knew that he was going to be the superstar at that time. And the autograph I got is completely fake. It does not look like anything like his handwriting. It's that bad. Even the Hurricane is not done in the right way that he does it. Anyways, but yeah, those House of Hardcore shows, they look interesting. And if I'm correct, they do release them on DVD, and that's where he basically makes his money off it. But they're also in the same area that show was done. And I find it intriguing that Dreamer can basically sell out a place and TNA can't do it.
You know, I got to tell you, I really think that TNA, we're going to do a segment sometime on what TNA can do to get better. We had talked about it before, but like,
it'll be the third time we've done the weekly topic on that.
Yeah, I know, right? Like we're going to just every week we're going to talk about what can TNA do to get better. But we're going to. I really think it really comes down to marketing and promoting. And I think that TNA, it does a piss poor job of promoting. I think that they don't know how to promote their own product. I really feel that way. Whereas Tommy Dreamer probably promotes the hell out of House of Hardcore.
But he promotes in that area, though. Just in that area. That's why it does so well.
Well, and on top of it, too, if you're in a city, like, and okay, think of TNA, right? When they came out to the Seattle area, Seattle itself is like 600,000 people. And then proper, it's like, what, maybe like 1.2 million or something like that, right? And you have 300 people show up to your show. The percentages there are pretty low, all right? I mean, that's very low. Their show they did on Thursday looked like it was more full. I don't know how full it was. I don't know how many tickets they sold. It looked like it was more full than their previous ones. But that doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, they need to start selling more tickets. They need people to go to their shows because people want to see these wrestlers. And I feel they're doing a very bad job of promoting this.
Also, the cameras, they were, if I'm correct, they were positioned above their Titantron, which I think is dumb because I think the shots, they're off. Like when MVP came out, the first thing I was like, this is not centered. You would think that, like, simple things. Like, I started nitpicking it. I was like, this is not right. Why are they not center here? Why are they missing this? And then,
well, that kind of goes into, though, what MVP did later, which is he made EY defend his title twice. So he defended against Kenny King at the top of the show. He won. And then he defended it again against Bobby Lashley.
Now, but wasn't that arena supposed to be empty? Because I thought he said he was kicking all the fans out as well.
No. He's kicking all TNA out. Everybody.
Oh.
Everybody.
Well,
obviously, the cameramen were there, you know. But anyway, so Bobby Lashley won. What did you think? What do you think of Bobby Lashley as being the TNA World Heavyweight Champion?
It just proves my point that MVP was supposed to win the title. They didn't know what to do. They panicked. They're like, oh my gosh, MVP's done. Well, we'll have EY retain, and then we'll have him lose it on Impact. Who came up with this idea? I mean, I know Big John can only put out a good pep talk, you know, once in a quarter, and he already wasted it on Slammiversary. What I just to me, I just thought that they're like being safe. They're like, we'll just put on Lashley. I think that they should have waited. I think they that he should have won. And the fact that Bobby Roode came out, why didn't Roode come out beforehand? Let EY keep the title, and then do you could do something where, you know, he's like, you know what, I want to next at the next show, I want to give you a shot at this title. Or he could be a transition champion, which I would prefer. I would actually think that would be the best thing to do, is then have Bobby Roode win the championship against him. That would be
cool. I like Bobby Roode. I think that Bobby Roode is like the best talent, underrated talent in wrestling. I think that he has the look. He has the skills on the mic. He has everything. Honestly, he really does, because he has a really great promo, great wrestling ability. You know, and you know, just all around skill. Bobby Lashley as champion, he makes the title look a little bit more credible. He is a big guy. He is very imposing. He obviously beat you know, EY a couple of times. So this was the third time. I think people were expecting EY to retain, but you know, that wasn't the case. I think that if they go with the storyline of Bobby Lashley versus Bobby Roode, I think that could be interesting. I think that might be a really good storyline, in fact.
Yeah, because Bobby Roode, he's just coming off the fact that he was a heel, and now now he comes back as a face. I thought that was really cool the way they basically did this. So hats off to TNA. They did something right, but I believe that they also did something wrong. The Wolves also defend their titles twice. And pretty much the second time they showed that they got paid to do what they did to him.
So did you like Impact this week?
I fell asleep in the main event.
But you're tired, though. That's not because it was boring.
Okay. I watched a lot of it. You know, Taryn Terrell came back. I was like, is that her? Could care less about the segment. So I don't know. You know, like watching it, I guess thinking about it again, I was like, you know what? It wasn't that bad. I guess I was so used to seeing bad impacts that seeing this one, you're like, oh, that wasn't bad. Oh, that wasn't bad.
You know, a D is better than an F, right? You know?
You know, I would give it a C minus. But I believe that Austin Aries and Samoa Joe are not getting used properly. They should be focused on it. I actually would have rather seen like Samoa Joe or Austin Aries come in to make the save. But, you know, that's fine. Bobby Roode, you got a storyline going with him. Congratulations. You know, I guess it'll decide how Impact is next week. I mean, I guess that's going to be the biggest one as soon as it happens. Of course, they tape that also tonight.
Yeah, and they also – they have tremendous talent with TNA. TNA has some of the best talent in the world. They really – honestly, they do. I actually think pound for pound, TNA has better talent than WWE, in my opinion, because they have – they have some of the best superstars. The problem is that they don't have enough time to use all of them, and that they waste time on dumb segments like Dixie Carter's one, which went on probably 2 minutes, 3 minutes too long. You know, that should have been a little bit tighter. They shouldn't have wasted time on her coming out to the ring and playing her song. You don't need to do that. Just have her in the ring, you know, when the commercial break, you know, comes back. You know, that's what they should have done. But I think that TNA Impact Wrestling this week was a lot better. I was actually looking forward to, and I'm looking forward to next week's.
Yeah, and by the way, the whole Dixie Carter thing, I just want to let you know that I had to press the skip button 3 times before she started talking. So that was a minute and a half, and then she talked. You could have had an Austin Aries match. You know, I thought that the fact they did the 3-way for the tag titles, I thought was ridiculous. They just put them in there just because they're like, we don't know what to do with you, so we're just going to have you put these guys over for now.
And honestly, we're not going to talk about it now, but we could talk for 5 minutes on why they had a triple threat match for the tag team titles with 3 face teams.
Oh, yes. That's the other thing. Why? And by the way, I really thought that Jeff Hardy was injured. I just want to point that out. He just laid there. And the only reason I knew he wasn't, because when they cut back to the announcers, I saw him walking to the back. I was like, yeah. Oh, so he's okay. But yeah,
we could talk for a long time about why that was so stupid.
We'll do an entire special about how dumb that was. And then we go over to 50 minutes and we're like, we should probably end it now. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.